As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a show me showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America. Coffee brewing on the stove, and there is a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? And welcome to our Wednesday, May the 12th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Had a little bit of sound defect yesterday. Might be having some more of that today. If we are having a little less than stellar sound, please do bear with me as I try and work through a new operating system with all kinds of other challenges. But once again, my name is William Roberts. Always good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you each and every day. I'd like to get to a solution of the sound problems. Maybe we'll find that today. I don't know. But anyway, we've got a lot on the plate for you. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely not alone. But you are in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. I'm not going out over the air. I can tell that right now. Not going out over the air right now. I can tell you that. Not seeing anything whatsoever to indicate that we have any kind of an outbound signal. Okay, so that's not working. Try this over again. Go over here. Go on to that one. Let's jump over here. Let's see if we can do this quickly. Let us see if we can't do this quickly. And go in here and go... Let's see that one right there. Set that one right there. Set that one right there. What's it doing? What type of a microphone is that? Next. Next. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Next. Next. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's go. Come on. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. Next. All right. Computer, did not hear you. Better speech recognition. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, click finish. Go there. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Come trying it again. Let's see if we can get somewhere back on air again. What's going on? Not hearing anything. Try it out there. I'm going to have to drop the line. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Peter Peck, the pickle, pickle, pepper is not having the kind of success we need. Let's go ahead and drop this dude right there.
Cartivite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cardivite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cardivite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cardivite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cardivite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cardivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
If a claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at EndlessFraudDetection.com today.
CC is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Well, hopefully we're back on the air here. I'm not seeing things the way that they should be shown in my my screens. There's a little bit of something, a little minor change there. Having a little trouble with what might be feedback to your side. Anyway, let's try it again here. This is a live broadcast, by the way. This is Wednesday, May the 12th, 2010, a two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. I'm going to forego the rest of the introductories. You all know how to get a hold of the broadcast. It's area code 512-904-8014 to join me live on air, and 866-841-1065. If you'd like to call in, someone could try calling in to see whether or not we're actually on the air and things are sounding good. I don't have a chat room up, so that makes it a little bit more difficult for that fully interactive system. But we've got really good news, and I hope this is going out properly. A lot of good news happening today, especially in the precious metals market, and financial news is looking really good. I'm not seeing really good things on my call board, however. So, anywho, proceeding along. Active trading for out of New York City for 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We find gold trading up $5.10 at $1,236.50. Now this is we're all in all kinds of uncharted territory. We're breaking new ground here today for the gold and silver markets. Not so much for silver, but definitely for gold. But silver moves up 14 cents, trades at $19.47 an ounce. Platinum moves up $3 at $17.06, and palladium is up $3 as well at $536 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market. The low this morning so far was 1,000. $226.90. The high is $1,245.70. Now this is brand new territory. This is an all new high. So we've been watching as the lows get higher over the last few months, and the highs have been getting higher, and now we're in uncharted territory. This is the highest gold has been. But at $1,236.50, your gold is up year to year $312 for a 33.81% return on your investment. And of course that, you know, you can look at it both ways. Either the glass is half empty or the glass is half full. It's either the value of the dollar going to hell in a handbasket or the value of gold going up. But the real direct link between the dollar and the gold has been severed for well over 8 months anyway. So the London Gold Fix this morning, the boys in London set the price at $1,241. Here we've got a call. Let's check this one out right now and find out that we're on our air. Let's go live. Good morning, caller.
Hi, good morning.
Hey.
You're coming through loud and clear.
Coming in loud and clear. Well, thank you so very much. And how am I sounding to you in the call board here? Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can.
Great, and we have almost no no latency between us. I'm hearing you almost immediately with no delay. What do you think of this high price of gold this morning? Isn't this incredible?
Yeah, it is. I'm glad I bought some last year.
I'm glad you bought some last year, too, because your gold is up $312 this morning. But, yeah, this is all new stuff. I'm really charged by it because I think that we're finally starting to see some of the, like I think the jackboot come off the neck of the gold market. All of the inquiry that has been put on the London Bullion Market Association, Skoda, Makata, J.P. Morgan Chase, and the others, you know, the CTCC hearings and GATA's discoveries, they're really focusing attention on it from a global level of the control that these gangster banksters have had really on our ability, we the people, the little peons out here, to actually be able to preserve our wealth. And I think that globally, the agenda, the financial agenda, is crumbling and their house of cards is collapsing. So I'm pretty charged up about it, and especially when we see gold making this kind of a breakout. And it didn't pull back anywhere near as much overnight as I thought it might have.
Yes.
Well, you just keep on listening. Thank you very much for calling in. And if anything else comes up during the broadcast, feel free to call back, okay?
I will. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling in. And let's pick up the next one, too. Let's go here. And good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. This is Fritz in Missouri.
Hey, Fritz. How's the sound signal coming out to you?
Well, I was getting it right from the 9 o'clock hour. I heard the sound. It sounds, it sounds as good as usual almost. I didn't notice any problems. So I guess the guy called ahead of me. I guess while I was calling in, somebody else called in to tell you the same thing.
Well, he did, and I'm very glad that he did, Fritz. But you know, I've upgraded to a different computer with a different operating system, and I've been trying to work through some feedback issues that it's had, and it does not Windows 7 does not operate as friendly, if you will, with Skype and the Oracle Broadcasting Network technology as did my previous Windows XP. So I've been about 30 days now trying to get this thing worked out. I think I might have it, but I'm still not used to the settings that I'm seeing on either my mixer or on the screen. So I'm glad it's going out real good, and we can keep right on a running with the broadcast.
Okay, good. Hey, that Elena Kagan, that is one fat, ugly Bolshevik.
Yeah, she is. I couldn't have put it better myself.
Hey, you know, it occurred to me recently, you know, I was thinking back to my youthful days, and I wonder if, did you ever see the Beatles animated movie Yellow Submarine?
Yes, I did.
Well, you know, the evil characters in that movie were the Blue Meanies.
Yes, that's right.
And they were short, fat, little evil tons of guns.
Well, dwarfs, you know, dwarfs. When there's a lot of dwarfs in Congress as well, you know. With Roy Blunt, you know, you have to have a box for Roy Blunt to stand up so that he can look over the top of the podium.
Oh, I didn't realize it, but he's not a Kazarian, not a Mr. Space Dog.
No, I don't think he is either. You know, the Blunts and the Blounts go all the way back. We had a William Blount that was a signer on the Constitution.
I'll be gone.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I just wonder, you know, because, you know, the Blue Meanies were Hanukkah Blue, and I just wondered if somebody was trying to tell us something about the Blue Meanies and tell us about Marine.
Well, the Beatles, you know, they had trouble from the very beginning. You know, they were basically, in my opinion, they were groomed, schooled, and even dressed to do the job that needed to be done at that particular time, which was to usher in the era of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And so, as much as I really enjoyed when I was young, I enjoyed their music, and I still do, quite frankly. I have quite a few of their albums in my collection. I like their music. But they were fulfilling a function. I remember the very first time, Fritz, that and my mother and father had a black and white TV in the home for the last couple of years that I lived at home, about 2 years. And I remember seeing on Ed Sullivan's show when he came out, he says, "Well, we've got a really great crew for you this evening, and we're going to introduce to you the Beatles." And the young guys came out and they were playing, and I was thinking, you know, I remember thinking to myself, "Well, what kind of music is this?" But anyway, yeah, you can stay on the line if you like. We'll pick you up right after this break.
Well, you're absolutely right.
Hold on a minute.
You've heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle. Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with a look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
I'm hearing the buffer music.
Yes, we're on.
Oh, I know what I'm hearing. I'm hearing it.
Okay, we're back. Okay, we're back. And we're talking with Fritz from Missouri. Fritz, as we were going into the break, we were talking a little bit about this Ed Sullivan shoe, the really big shoe that he had for everybody back so long ago when he introduced the Beatles, you know. So, yeah, lots has happened in our lives, your life and mine, since that time period. As I mentioned during the break, I really wouldn't want to trade that experience for anything, but just like yourself, I certainly didn't have any idea that we were being part of some kind of a mind control project and that we were basically getting excited about something that was really going to be ultimately destructive of not only our way, our American way of life, but also something that went all the way around the world, changed the entire planet. You know, the whole idea from the Loch Ness Monster, Aleister Crowley, that whole process really took the planet by the storm.
That's right. And you look at how far the science has progressed now, and you look at these so-called pop idols now. The music is, of course, to me, it's all disco music. They're still making disco music, but it's just super high-technology disco music, and you don't know what's buried in those tracks. But, you know, on top of the lyrics, if you ever see any of those Lennon Honor films, he breaks down some of the lyrical content and subliminal messages that he sees in some of these. But it's amazing.
Well, when you get involved with digital technology, you know, it's a whole nother kettle of fish. I mean, when I was playing music and had a band and all of that, and you'd go out and you'd play, and you know, it was you, your guitar, your microphone, and your amplifier, and you know, I could swear on a stack of Bibles 1,000 feet high, there was nothing going on in there. I wrote most all of the music that we played. You could play my music forward or backwards, and it never did sound good. But you know, it didn't have anything hidden in there when I was writing my writing the lyrics to the song. You know, I wasn't throwing the I Ching on the side. But with digital music, you don't have any clue as to what is being played inside of that, because it can be forward or backwards or anything, upside down, inside out. So I've pretty well lost my interest in music over the last 4, 5, 6 years, something like that, as I've gone deeper and deeper into research. But I haven't really enjoyed music for well over a decade. It just doesn't resonate with me. But again, this is just the passing, you know, from one generation to the next. Each generation seems to be excited about the music of their time, and I just hope that the quality is there, and that there's some enjoyment for the people that are making this music and their audiences, maybe even on the level that was there when I was involved in the music business. But, it just doesn't resonate with me at all. Disco music is a good way of looking at it. It's electronic noise.
Yes, it is. And, I'm kind of in the same boat. I used to listen to the Grateful Dead a lot, and I wouldn't say I followed them, but I think they followed me. But I've read a lot about MKUltra. I haven't read any definitive evidence that the Dead were involved in that directly. I have read that Owsley was in the military, and I know Mickey Hart was involved with the Library of Congress and collecting indigenous field recordings and so on. But I haven't. I'd like to think that they weren't. That I wasn't being brainwashed all those years, but who knows? Hey, I got one quick question, then I'll let you go. When you were in your band, did you have a piece of plywood with a couple of floodlights bolted onto the plywood that you could put on the floor in front of the band and and amateur band. I'm talking junior high now.
Oh, well, we had all kinds of stuff that, you know, I collected a large collection of things to do live music. The biggest live performance that I ever did was in 1976, I think it was, at the Fat Tuesday celebration in Pioneer Square. It was an outdoor festival in Seattle, Washington, and I think we had somewhere in the neighborhood of 4,000 to 4,500 people in the audience filling up the square. But we also had some disruption in the back, and the Seattle police came in, the equestrian police came in and caused a great stir about two-thirds of the way through our performance. But so anyway, you know, that's life. That was then, and I haven't played out since that night, since Fat Tuesday, 1976.
That was a wild track. Well, I was in a band called Buster Brown in St. Louis, and in St. Louis, the Summer of Love, 1970, and we used to play in Forest Park for free every Sunday, and we alternated sets with a band called Rush, and set up the pavilion there. It wasn't the Rush that most people know now.
Okay.
We set up in the pavilion there, and we had alternate sets, and every Sunday, all summer long, all the hippies would go to St. Louis, to Forest Park, and throw the frisbees and smoke whatever, and we had a great time, and then the police started cutting off the power, and so we had to bring generators, and by the fall, they had set up these big flower pot things in the middle of the street, so you couldn't access the pavilion anymore, and those flower pot plant things, ocean box things, are still there to this day.
Yes, they are. They're all around the bollards and the barriers and the ecology blocks have become basically street ornaments in our lifetime, and it's really a shame because the police state was coming on us and at us in those days. We didn't realize it necessarily, or it didn't really register. But it has certainly gotten worse. I couldn't even imagine taking the time and the energy necessary to travel to Washington D.C. to look at that concertina camp. They got the barbed wire turned the wrong way. They got to turn it back inward so that it keeps all the politicians in instead of all the people out. But interesting stuff. And Fritz, hey, great call this morning.
Yeah.
I'll talk with you again, my friend, and keep those up.
Yeah, I didn't mean to. Didn't mean to get you off topic. Nice talking to you. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye for now. Well, there's certainly nothing off topic when we're having sound challenges and we're getting a little bit of a breakup between Fritz and I there during that. I don't know whether it was going out over the air. I'll listen to the archives later. But once again, going back in, trying to close out this market report for today, there's lots and lots happening. The SPDR gold shares didn't move up at all overnight. They kept right where they were at 1,192.15 tons. But again, folks, talk about deep pockets. Overnight, yesterday, the street value was $45.85 billion. This morning, it's $46.85 billion. Overnight, you know, this SPDR gold shares added $1 billion worth of wealth, if you will, in that gold holding process. So, I mean, $1 billion overnight. When was the last time you ever made 20 bucks while you were sleeping? Well, I haven't. But $46.85 billion. The Dow Jones yesterday closed down 37 at 10,748. The NASDAQ was off 1 at 2375. The S&P was down 4 at 1556. The crude oil slips another 8 cents this morning. Now it's 76.29. I thought it was going the other way, but it's had a major reversal. And the U.S. dollar index off 16 basis points, yet trades at 84.55. So all of our indicators are looking stronger. Of course, the euro continues its decline. It's at $1.27. And the British pound with the new government over there, it's not doing too well either. Off 49 basis points, trades at $1.49. So all of the stuff that's happening out there globally is having an impact not only on the finances, but on the geopolitical fabric that's laid out. And when we come back from this break, we're going to go into a little bit more, and then I might just forego some of this news that I had on the plate, and we'll go into just a little bit of teaching. Back to an interesting book I want to share with you, The Den of Vipers, or The Pit of Vipers. No, The Generation of Vipers by Philip Wiley and other material. But there's the break. We'll go ahead and take this break, and we'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
looking for news and real information? You found it. You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.
Be prepared for anything. Disasters, drought, earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis. Be ready wherever your adventures take you. Ocean, rainforest, jungle, desert, even your own backyard. Seed Panel can help you make clean water from any source. Salt water, pesticides, arsenic, fluoride, brine, bacteria. With Seed Panel, you can handle whatever Mother Nature throws your way. Just pour contaminated water into your Seed Panel and let sunlight distill up to 2 gallons per day. 100% solar powered. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. If you're near the ocean, Seed Panel can help make your disaster kit ready for anything. Please visit cpanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com, or call 205-246-6492, cpanel.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Rampant inflation that will eviscerate paper-denominated assets is just around the corner. The U.S. Treasury and Federal Reserve have been flooding the economy with trillions in fiat currency with no foreseeable plan to stop. In the last 10 years alone, the stock market has fallen 30%, and the U.S. dollar has lost 40% of its value, while gold and silver are up an amazing 400%. No other investment category has come near the return of precious metals in the last decade. Protect your assets by investing with Christos Trading. Christos Trading specializes in gold and silver IRA accounts, precious metals financing, as well as competitive pricing for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Christos Trading takes pride in providing a large inventory at excellent prices, fast delivery with free shipping and insurance, and very personal customer service. Get live price quotes for all products. Call Christos Trading today at 888-385-1116. That's 888-385-1116. Or visit their website at christostrading.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again, kind of off to a rocky start this morning in our two-hour extravaganza. Visited with Fritz and our other caller. I don't forgot his name already. Shame on me for that. But, you know, just kind of looking at things from a general standpoint in the first 30 minutes as we try and figure out whether A, on the air, or B, not. I do spend quite a bit of time every day. Not only do I get up quite early to get all the market reports ready to go and everything and go through the news, but I also do a lot of reading the night before all day. As a matter of fact, as soon as the broadcast ends, I'll go right back to my books so that I can find things of interest to bring to you. And so I think I'll forego. I've got a whole browser full of news. There's all kind of stuff in here about the bailouts and what's going on in England and what's going on with Dubai Ports World and so on. But it'll all hang in there. The prison industry was on the agenda today. Jimmy Rogers comes out and says that the bailout is a nail in the coffin for the euro. Of course, that just kind of seconds what we were talking about yesterday. But, you know, second and third witnesses sometimes helped me to confirm that at least my understanding of the marketplace is correct. So I want to share with you just a little bit. This rather interesting book. It's another one of these finds out and about in the hinterlands going for used bookstores and auctions. Picked this book up. It was a rather catchy title, so it caught my eye on a bookshelf in a used bookstore. It's titled Generation of Vipers. Now, you know that you can go into the New Testament in the Bible and you'll find that. But this was written by a man named Philip Wiley. Very interesting individual. His mother was a debutante. This is written, published back in 1942. But his mother was a debutante, if you will. If you know what that means, it's kind of like almost on the level of an escort, but for the elite, if you will. And so he had a rather interesting upbringing. And his insights are very, very good. He titles it a Survey of Moral Want, Philosophical Discourse suitable Only for the Strong, A Study of American Types and Archetypes, and A Signpost on the Two Thoroughfares of Man, the Via Dolorosa and the Descensus Averno, together with sundry preachments, epithets, moral adventures, political impertinences, allegories, aspirations, visions, and jokes, as well as certain homely hints for the care of the human soul by Philip Wiley. This is the introduction, the opening statement to the book. He says, "You bought the war." Again, remember Pearl Harbor, December the 7th, 1941. You bought the war. You were an interventionist. You bought the war. Were you an interventionist? Then you bought it because you knew it was for the price of freedom. Were you an isolationist? Then you bought it because you wouldn't pay the lesser price of stopping the first aggressions. Did you vote? For whom? For men who went to Washington and revealed that they didn't know anything about armies or navies or nations or industry? If you did, you were buying the war, this one, the expensive one. Did you do nothing? Not even vote? Then you bought more of this war than anybody else, because this is the war of men who wanted the world, and it was made possible by the men who wanted no part of anything. No part of the vigilance that maintains liberty. No part of the responsibility for all that means freedom for each. No cost and no trouble. War is not a natural catastrophe like an earthquake. Men make war. They begin its manufacture during peacetime with harsh envies and schemes to exploit the irresponsibility of others. The last peace, during which this war was fomented, held its share of injustices. Far beyond that, it was a queasy slew of irresponsibility, default, and disclaimer. You have bought the next peace with this war. Are you trying to purchase a replica of the peace that failed? And if you are not, have you studied why it failed, why America failed, why you failed? In that study are the reasons for which we fight and the explanations of why we failed. If you search them out and understand them, you will be able and ready to pay the cost of enduring peace. For peace, like war, is also the work of the people, you. And that was written by Philip Wiley back in 1942. Very interesting book. I have to be exceedingly careful with it because it is not of the highest quality, though it's hardbound, but the pages are just, I would say, terribly faded. It's very old in not only in the way that it feels, but in the care that needs to be taken, even just turning the pages. Now here, let's jump ahead. Page 206, he's going to talk about businessmen in this section. It's a chapter titled Businessmen. I do not know how much time you spend in reflection upon the quickness of material change that has befallen man. Haven't we talked about that? You've heard it about the encyclopedists. They lament that there's so much information that comes out now in a year, so much new technology, so much new information, that it would fill an encyclopedia the size of the Encyclopedia Britannica almost on a yearly basis. And so here, back at this time period, he's asking this question. I do not know how much time you spend in reflection upon the quickness of material change that has befallen man, but I suggest that you spend a good deal. The blessings of science have come in about five generations mostly, and the bulk in the last two. So we are rank beginners at solving new problems, which may have accrued to us through the gift. A cosmic bystander would not expect either Marx, that would be Karl Mordecai Marx, or the fascists to knock off instanter a perfect QED for the problems which manifestly have accrued. Certainly, the businessmen didn't attempt to solve any of these major concerns or even anticipate them. With a mad halloo, they roared in by millions for a killing that had been within the reach only of dozens up until Watt, Ampere, and the rest. The American businessman, the tweedy, corpulent, horn-rimmed dollar chaser, and remember his upbringing, folks. This is a man that probably grew up looking down the hall from his bedroom, perhaps with a nanny or a caregiver, as his mother, dressed to the nines, went out the door some evening with one of these tweedy, corpulent, horn-rimmed, dollar-chasing businessmen. Again, the American businessman was a melting pot job, and the metal of him was that of pot metal, which is a white metal, the nearest thing in imitation iron to slag. In another book, I pointed out that our melting pot is also the cesspool, the American retort, into which the various precious ingredients were put for refinement, was at the same time the common sewer, into which is poured much garbage and offal. Think for a moment about the stock, the quote-unquote stock of this nation, not in the common school history manner, but in its opposite, as we are thinking about matters here. At first, our shores were reached by many who were trying to escape religious persecution. This willingness to uproot their homes for an idea showed spiritual hardiness. But these were soon outnumbered by persons who came to make their way, seek fortune, escape penalties of the law, and so on. Batches of assorted criminals were dumped on our littoral, some mere political exiles, others thieves, some gamblers, minor scoundrels, the incurably indigent, the chronic riffraff of several nations. When the 18th century ended and manpower was needed for the exploitation of the West, the sole test of a man's suitability for citizenship in this lofty and intricate republic became, in the case of millions, his ability to swing a pick. With these days, laborers, as the legend of gold-paved streets spread to Prague and Copenhagen, Oslo, Minsk, Omsk, Constantinople, Naples, Vienna, Dresden, Toulon, and Hong Kong, came other millions on their own, not muscle imports, but persons who wanted gold, even if they had to dig it out of the gutters. Some headway has been made in instructing them and their descendants about democracy. But we should not forget that while they paid loud lip service to our ideals at Ellis Island, they came here in the first place to get. Comprehend what he's saying here. We talk about the illegal alien immigration invasion. We talk about all of the people that came through the front door, if you will, came by the Statue of Liberty, came via Ellis Island. They came here through the front door. Today we have people creeping in the back door and crashing the windows. Continuing, one reason for the fearsome default of democratic government is to be found in these persons and their descendants who now must number half the populace, and their identification still with their basic reason for being here. In other words, to get something for themselves, to make a fortune, to make a name for themselves, right? Happily, continuing, for them, it coincided neatly with the rise of materialistic momism. Momism, M-O-M-I-S-M. This is the beginning of the mommy state that Mr. Wiley is discussing. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With Point printed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
If a claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at EndlessFraudDetection.com today.
Come explore the human stargate and what lies beyond. Walk the Revel Path. Sundays.
Up right there, and we should be back up on air. Okay. It seems that we have a computing system that wants to time out largely during my broadcast, so I think I'm getting it down now where I can get everything back up again quickly. Anywho, continuing, I'm sharing with you from this book, The Generation of Vipers, written by Philip Wiley back about 1942 when it was published. And as I said again, his father, this is an unusual man, an unusual writer, writing from an unusual perspective. He is the son of what was known in the time as a debutante. This would be the woman that would dress, you know, beautifully in gifts, probably wearing jewelry given to her by suitors and boyfriends and things like that. And she was the kind of a gal that the trophy wife, but not a wife, just the pretty thing on somebody's arm. And we've got many of them, you know, throughout the time. And it goes male or female, you know, either way. But anyway, so it's from his perspective growing up and then later as a writer that he's writing this. And he's looking at the United States in a time of trouble. As we go into this Pearl Harbor period, into this war, you bought the wars, how this started, remember. And so he continues now, and he says, one reason for this fearsome default of democratic government is to be found in these persons and their descendants. Again, these are all of the people that came to our shores since the founding of this country, these colonies, all of the people that came here. And he's resolving it down, the reasons that they came here, first, to avoid religious persecution, and second, to find some or to experience some sense of freedom. But additionally, because of the vast amount of natural resource wealth that just lay out there, almost and essentially free for the taking, for anyone that was strong enough and able enough and willing enough to swing a pickaxe to extract the minerals out of the ground or to cut the timber down and to bring it to a port someplace so that it could be shipped off to shipbuilding industry someplace else, you know, England or elsewhere, Europe. Just about anybody and everybody that came here was coming for one reason. They were coming here to get. So one reason for the fearsome default of democratic government is to be found in these persons. And recall also that above he said this, the sole test of a man's suitability for citizenship in this lofty and intricate republic. There's no confusion here at this time yet, even though the seeds of democracy had been sown. Woodrow Wilson making the world safe for democracy. This author is not confused. This author, having most likely received education, public and private, in a republic where, as Benjamin Franklin says, if you can keep it, he was not deceived. But one reason for the fearsome default of democratic government is to be found in these persons and their descendants, who now must number half of the populace. Their identification still with their basic reason for being here. In other words, this idea of coming here to get. What's in it for me? Happily for them, it coincided neatly with the rise of materialistic momism, M-O-M-I-S-M. I'm not aware of any author prior to Philip Wiley that called this the mommy state. And his idea of materialistic momism in reference to the rise of global socialism. Continuing, he says, this is not an argument for Herren folk, but for a great attention to the common people and an insistence upon instruction in the true reasons for such ideals as have been given constitutional hell room here. The DARs, that would of course be the Daughters of the American Revolution, my grandmother was one, the Elks, the Masons, Legionnaires, and everybody pretty much, come from this mixed breed of fortune hunters and share, without thinking about it, the large and crazy idea that America is a place where you can get $1 million for nothing. And overnight, the SPDR gold shares bumped up $1 billion in... Okay, back up again. Having some great difficulty staying connected. The businessman is moved by this same insane expectation. In his mind, it lies close beside the idea that any boy can grow up to be a president. Very important stuff going on here. A species of pseudo-truth seemingly proved by numerous incumbents, including Barry the Usurper, right? He identifies the universal possibility of millionaireism with that other red schoolhouse gem. In countless cases, he gets to be a millionaire, and that is his proof. His commercial techniques derive largely from old English trading methods, which, like the English common law, have never been reexamined in the light of new psychological data, and so grow less and less relevant to known reality. Before the Americans started, English businessmen had already pirated half the earth in a most unscrupulous way, largely by trade, however, rather than by sword, which is somewhat more enlightened instrument at that. And English businessmen had produced several rather astonishing market collapses in their time, even before Americans went into operation. The India bubble was just one such. With this tradition, the American man of affairs started to work on his empire beyond the Mississippi and did a bang-up job. When he finished there, was more gear on the landscape than ever before in any nation's history, and there were more rococo palaces of millionaires per capita than ever before. And all this is truth, my friends. This is historical fact. Historical fact. This is not just, wild literary imaginings here. He's writing a very accurate account. This businessman even enjoyed a brief baronial period of his own before his sources of wealth production were given a different direction by women. When that happened, he swiftly adjusted his activities to the new markets. What does he mean by that? What does he mean by that? When his sources of wealth production were given a different direction by women. You know, Edward Bernays, always heard about the propagandists and things like that. There was a whole new shift coming down the pike, a new twist in marketing and advertisement, new appeals to the new woman, the goddess. Rosie the Riveter had some money. It wasn't such like they had in the times in England where the courts of equity were necessary in order to have a woman really inherit the wealth of her husband and things like that. Landed wealth in women, that was not, you know, something that was a commonplace thing. But anyway, he's pointing to a very important transition in our development here. The businessman even enjoyed a brief baronial period of his own before his sources of wealth production were given a different direction by women. In the course of this book, he'll go into it in great detail. But he kept to his old ideas of low wages and usurious prices, more and more by employing lawyers to conceal his processes in corporational mumbo-jumbo. We talk about that all the time, don't we? We're reading out of the Bloomberg News every single day. These are these corpulent, you know, millionaires and billionaires. I mean, how can you read an article like about investor Jimmy Rogers as if he was just, you know, some guy who lived next door, one of the many wealthy, wealthy men on the planet. Anyway, we'll be back right after this top of the hour break and continue. Hopefully our sound will stay with us, and we will continue with Philip Wiley. Stay with us.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available, and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic Spark Plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic Spark Plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
The home of cutting-edge talk radio. Online, worldwide, at oraclebroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Wednesday, May the 12th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, even if we've got to bring duct tape and baling wires to get the job done. I'm certainly on the deck and on the dock on time each and every day. And so I ask your forgiveness if the sound quality of late has been a little bit challenging. It's certainly been a challenge to me. And hoping to work through it all. Nevertheless, let us continue in the preceding hour foregoing the news, largely because of the technical challenges at the beginning of the broadcast, and just really glancing over a very important day in the marketplace when gold flies to new records, investors seeking safety, gold surging to record highs on Wednesday and the investors piled in, seeking safety from the turmoil in government bond markets and the risk of Greece's debt crisis spreading to other countries. Gold hit a $1,244.45 an ounce, a gain of nearly 20% since early February. It was bid at $1,241.15 an ounce at 1209 Greenwich Mean Time from $1,232.05 late in New York on Tuesday. U.S. gold futures hit a record at $1,245.40 an ounce. Investor buying this week was triggered by doubts that a $1 trillion rescue package to contain an escalating debt crisis in Europe would be enough to cut the chances of sovereign default in the Eurozone. And there's a lot more out there than that. We have a whole browser full of news that we could go into, but I'm just setting that aside today. I'll listen to the archive to see if the sound settings are correct, and then we can proceed again, hopefully with a better performance tomorrow. Always a challenge, always a challenge. But what would life be without the little challenges? Certainly this is a blessing. It's very easy to do. And when the electronic voice over internet protocols work, they work well. And I'm pleased to be here. Anyway, we're looking at this author, Philip Wiley, in his book, Generation of Vipers, written from an unusual perspective back in 1942. And, of course, remember December the 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor, the time period that this was being written. You can just imagine the headlines. You can imagine the buzz on the streets, you know, all of the various and sundry. Let's see if I can grab this one. No, I don't want to grab that one. I keep getting Bertrand Russell mixed up with another fellow, and I'd just really like to have his name on my mind. Maybe I'll glance at it during the break. But anyway, a very interesting book, unusual book, an unusual find, really. And so he's the guy, I think, that came up with the idea of mommy state, materialistic momism. And this materialistic momism has transformed the fabric of our world from a needs-based world to a wants-based world. And I don't mean to lay it at the feet of the ladies, but a lot of it does get laid at the feet of the ladies. Everything and anything that you can imagine that has been created to make a house a home, as you've heard, many of those things just did never exist. If you go back and look at the colonial period here in this country, and look at the interiors of these houses and cabins, and even the finer houses. You look at the things that were inside those houses, not to say austere, sometimes often were austere, but certainly there were houses that were filled with the things that people need and people lived comfortably. But after this time period, in Philip Wiley's lifetime, we made this incredible transition from people who satisfied their needs and were industrious to a time of lap of luxury, corpulence, and living in want, the materialistic momism. We'll pick it up right there, right after these words. Stay with us.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Be prepared for anything. Disasters, drought, earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis. Be ready wherever your adventures take you. Ocean, rainforest, jungle, desert, even your own backyard. Seed Panel can help you make clean water from any source. Salt water, pesticides, arsenic, fluoride, brine, bacteria. With Seed Panel, you can handle whatever Mother Nature throws your way. Just pour contaminated water into your Seed Panel and let sunlight distill up to 2 gallons per day. 100% solar powered. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. If you're near the ocean, Seed Panel can help make your disaster kit ready for anything. Please visit seedpanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com, or call 205-246-6492, seedpanel.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again right here on our Wednesday, May the 12th, 2010, live two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Love to come to you Monday through Friday on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, reading from this book, Philip Wiley's Generation of Vipers. And I'll just pick it up right where we left it off. I'm going to repeat this whole paragraph one more time because it's absolutely essential for us to understand. With this tradition, again, the American man of affairs started to work on his empire beyond the Mississippi and did a bang-up job. When he'd finished, there was more gear on the landscape than ever before in any nation's history. More gear on the landscape. More stuff. Right? And there was more Rococo palaces of millionaires per capita than ever before. New highs were established in every sort of large-scale piracy. The businessman even enjoyed a brief baronial period of his own before his sources of wealth production were given a different direction by women. When that happened, he swiftly adjusted his activities to the new markets, but he kept to his old ideas of low wages and usurious prices. More and more by employing lawyers to conceal his processes in corporational mumbo-jumbo. To the extent that he reformed, it was not because women objected to scouring profits, but because the workers did. And there were other influences that women were bringing with them, like the vote and suffrage, and then the Carrie Nation with the hatchet going after the prohibitionists, etc. They were strong abolitionists oftentimes as well. If we overlook the connection to Bertrand Russell and Lord and Lady Amberley and the rise of Fabian socialism, we will not understand this generational, you know, momism that came on upon us. Because much of it came out of their minds. Sidney and Beatrice Webb, George Bernard Shaw, his poetry, his plays. Nothing, continuing from Wiley here, nothing he had carried over from the British trading practice and nothing he had picked up in the Western bulldoze had taught him to take any care or thought for the ultimate responsibility of his enterprises. If his method benefited the public good in any way, it was due to pressure from labor or from a public conscience that had certain broad but occasionally reached limits, or to the pressure of his own vanity, which caused him to endow universities, build foundations, and use his advertising space for simple texts and lessons. So very important, you know, Rene Wurmser's great book, The Foundations, Their Power and Their Influence. What a time period this was. This is where in the Council on Foreign Relations, the London School of Economics, and all of the various universities just sprouted up miraculously all across the country. Every kind of a group was created at this time. So much of what, you know, you go in and read the encyclopedias as I have, and you track out all of the various and sundry groups. They all have their feet right here in this time period from about 1895 to about 1950 or thereabouts. They all found it in there. You know, the rise of the Ku Klux Klan, you know, they're all right in there. Again, he says, if his method benefited the public good in any way, this is that idea of the greatest good of the greatest number, the happiness principle. While he did his best by duress, purchase, rapine, concealment, cartel, and other means to wipe out competition. You say Rockefeller's here? He insisted at the same time the DuPonts, the rise of General Electric, General Motors, Ford, Boeing, all of that, Dow Chemical, that because of the competitive nature of his business, he could never be expected to cooperate with men in lines similar to his. Could never be expected to cooperate because of the competitive nature of his business. Could never be expected to cooperate with men in lines similar to his. Chevron, Standard Oil, Texaco, Asarco, Aramco, you name it. Out of this sort of flummery grew the triumphant catastrophe that is the mind of the American businessman, bred from more dunderheads and bandits than moral idealists, nurtured by traditions of grab and suborn, dedicated to the woman's angle, and endowed overnight with the machine it undertook to manage the world by impoverished juggling without discard or addition. So powerful an organ of repression is the brain that all the businessmen were able, by misdirecting their noggins, to hold down the bulk of the bursting evidence of blunder, not to say impossibility, and keep millions convinced that a status quo could be maintained, though there is no such thing in nature as a status quo. This act went on for so long and so intensely that even now, when there is no actual business anywhere on earth, the businessmen still do not realize it and are still worrying about status quo. And we could just go on and on. He was hitting it, you know, on the head, stroke after stroke after stroke, for page after page after page. The fellow I was trying to remember, I always get him confused with Bertrand Russell, is Bernard Baruch. Same time period, contemporary with Philip Wiley, one of those dapper dans, one of those corpulent fellows that perhaps went out in the evening with Philip Wiley's mother. Don't know. I won't put that at his feet. He has plenty of other stuff to look at. But it's rather interesting. I'll start out right here. This is the Bernard Baruch Portrait of a Citizen, W.L. White. This published by the Harcourt Brace and Company. And this was copyrighted in 1950 by W.L. White. So it's only 8 years distant from this generation of vipers. And here, the very beginning starts this way. We're talking about Bernard Baruch. It is just possible that Isaac Rodriguez Marquis had been a pirate. At any rate, his great-great-great-great-great-grandson, Bernard Mons Baruch, likes elfishly to hope so. He's looking at his great ancestor here as a pirate. But after Isaac Marquis arrived in New York in 1696 from the West Indies, his ships, sailing a triangular course between Africa, the West Indies, and these British North American colonies, kept piously to the rum, molasses, ivory, and slave trade. And we know this because New York was then in the grip of a reform administration, the Earl of Bellomont having been sent as the colony's governor by good King William III to stamp out piracy, and Bernard Baruch's ancestor does not appear on His Excellency's record as having been either fined or hanged. And it continues. Let's pick it up a little bit further now, talking about Baruch himself. In college, his best friend, a popular Irish boy named Richard P. Lydon, later a New York Supreme Court justice, was asked to join several Greek letter fraternities. You know what they are, the frat houses. But always declined, while Baruch, although many times proposed, was always blackballed. Quote, "I don't think it was because I was disliked," he later said reflectively. "I think it was because I was a Jew." Yet, if heredity had given him what was in New York of the 1880s a handicap, it had lavished on him good looks and a brain in which there was small room for morbid self-pity. He wasn't one of these self-hating Jews, okay? He wasn't one of the ring-the-hanky type. He probably, maybe, I don't know, I won't want to speak for him, but he probably wouldn't give you the time of day for the Holocaust hoax. But we'll pick it all up right there on the other side of this break. Stay with us. Much more to come. Going to go some interesting places here.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Rampant inflation that will eviscerate paper-denominated assets is just around the corner. The U.S. Treasury and Federal Reserve have been flooding the economy with trillions in fiat currency with no foreseeable plan to stop. In the last 10 years alone, the stock market has fallen 30%, and the U.S. dollar has lost 40% of its value, while gold and silver are up an amazing 400%. No other investment category has come near the return of precious metals in the last decade. Protect your assets by investing with Christos Trading. Christos Trading specializes in gold and silver IRA accounts, precious metals financing, as well as competitive pricing for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Christos Trading takes pride in providing a large inventory at excellent prices, fast delivery with free shipping and insurance, and very personal customer service. Get live price quotes for all products. Call Christos Trading today at 888-385-1116. That's 888-385-1116. Or visit their website at christostrading.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
So in the preceding segment, we've transitioned from the Generation of Vipers by Philip Wiley to a book that was written by W.L. White, A Portrait of a Citizen, Bernard Baruch, wherein we find that Bernard Baruch was not one of those self-hating Jews, if you will. New York Jew for sure, maybe the descendant of a pirate involved in the Great Triangle. Running rum and running ivory and running slaves, all of that, the big triangle that used to go on there. But continuing here, he says that I think it was because I was a Jew. If heredity had given him what in the New York of the 1880s was a handicap, it had lavished on him good looks and a brain in which there was small room for morbid self-pity. And behind him there was a proudly solid family. Remember, said his mother, as she started the boy out to Dick's sister's debutante party in his mother's pinned-up dress suit, quote, in his father's suit, excuse me, that you are the handsomest boy in the world. The blood of princes is in your veins. Nobody is better than you, but you are no better than anybody else unless you prove it, or until you prove it. Some interesting words. My mother and father never gave me that advice as I went out to a party. So, continuing, if a Jew could not then be a Greek letterman, Bernard Baruch and Dick Lydon could run the senior class politics. You see how early on he started to realize where the power centers lie. Working behind the scenes, it was to happen again. All right, with Bernie, that would be Bernard Baruch. Working behind the scenes, the author writes, as it was to happen again. Now, for those of you that have listened to the broadcast for any length of time, and those of you that are new, let me just refresh your memory and point you in the direction of the Bible, once again, to the story about Joseph finding himself imprisoned after his brothers threw him in a pit, sold him into bondage, finding himself imprisoned, capable of interpreting a dream, coming into the favor of the Pharaoh, and rising up as the Grand Vizier. Again, this is a repeating theme in history, if you will look, if you'll but look carefully. And here this author, talking about Bernard Baruch, here, the same kind of a Grand Vizier move being made. There are some people that don't ever want to be out in front. There are the people that want to sit in the back, you know, like Rahm Emanuel. Every time you see a press conference, almost, when Barry the Usurper is seated, not standing up with his rubber neck and his jaw jutting out, you look behind him in the camera, off Barry's left shoulder, looking over his left shoulder. For those of you that ever read Carlos Castaneda's books, you know that the trouble always comes from your left shoulder, over your left shoulder. But if you look back in the picture, there's Rahm Emanuel, seated behind Barry the Usurper, certainly close enough to drive the poignard home, if you know what I mean, working behind the scenes as the Grand Vizier, putting Dick in as the president. So Bernie, with his friend Dick Lydon, put Dick in as the president of his senior class here, politics, and then himself became chairman of the class day exercises. So when then what? Well, we'll pass out of that. Let's jump over here a little bit more. Again, about Bernard Baruch. In 1901, Bernard Baruch learned that Morgan and Harriman were fighting each other for the control of the Northern Pacific. And you know that our bow tie man recently picked up that Northern Pacific Railroad. What would happen? The author continues, the stock would first soar as Morgan bid against Harriman, and then, as the little fellows scrambled to get out of the way, it would drop. The other day, last week, we had the 1,000-point drop. See how often they use the same programs, like the small-town football coach? Always the same drills. I'll say it again. In 1901, Baruch learned that Morgan and Harriman were fighting each other for control of Northern Pacific Railroad. What would happen? The stock would first soar as Morgan bid against Harriman, and then, as the little fellows scrambled to get out of the way, it would drop. So Baruch first bought heavily and then flip. With exquisite timing, he sold it and went short on the balance of the market, making money both on its rise and fall. You see the way that Goldman Sachs, Blank Fine, used the Bernard Baruch move, even as they were going into a hearing in regards to their misdealings and misdeeds in the economic meltdown. Again, back to the text here, he heard, and again was right, that Jim Keane, William Rockefeller, and a group of genial pirates who had working control of Amalgamated Copper were going to take it for a buggy ride. Baruch, not one of these insiders, but again he hitchhiked brilliantly, anticipating their tactics, buying as the stock soared to a 130, then selling short as it dropped to a bottom of 33. But in the midst of this, one day after the markets had closed and Amalgamated directors were scheduled to declare a dividend which might vitally affect his position, his desk telephone rang. Bernard, said his mother sternly, have you forgotten what tomorrow is? Instantly, he now remembered it was Yom Kippur, a sacred day on which no Jew may work or transact any business. The ultra-Orthodox will not even snap an electric light switch, which is making a fire, between sunset and sunset. For Baruch, it meant he could not even telephone the street to protect himself on a day which might mean his ruin. I will expect you home, his mother said evenly. All right, mother, he said. And through Monday, his friends on the street tried to get him on the line, warning him to protect his position, but he would not answer their rings. Yet, because Amalgamated continued downward, in the end, he made $700,000 during a period which was later remembered by less agile brains as the panic of 1901. Cashing in his profits, and remember, $700,000 in 1901 would buy you a lot. Cashing in his profits, he started on the first of what became his annual swings around the country, photographing and storing away in that electronic brain impressions of the surging industrial and agricultural growth of our young republic. Homesteaders breaking new sod, miners blasting into the Rockies, new railroad trestles spanning canyons, also getting the feel of its peoples. In the prairie states, men who had gambled on credit and loss were storming for cheap money. More greenbacks, silver at 16-1 and denouncing the crime of 73. What was the answer? Well, if something was wrong with this great and joyous poker game, which was then our national economy, maybe its rules should be changed, but not the value of the chips, and only to benefit losers. Suppose a white chip were made equal to a blue one, how could it really help? And it continues, and it continues, and it lays out how Bernard Baruch went on to make his fortunes. Or we could go to John Locke. We could talk about the ideas. Ideas. Let's do that quickly. We went into a considerable amount of discussion on John Locke and his second treatise, The Original Intent of and the Original and End of Constitutional Government, in his second treatise. And this, an essay concerning human understanding. We've started this before. But again, John Locke, living 1632 to 1704, fully a century before Bernard Baruch on the scene. But the same sort of stuff. We're going to talk about ideas for a moment, where they come from, according to John Locke, very influential in our founders. And he's breaking some new ground here. Remember, we read from the Encyclopedia article where some called him the father of, you, if you will, of sensationalism. Well, not sensationalism the way that you're thinking, but an ism that bases everything on the five-sense reality that we have and on the reflections we make of it. We'll be right back.
Radio, you found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known, with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so as we start in a little bit of new material from John Locke. And from his essay, really, it's an essay concerning human understanding, but it outlines the beginning of empiricism and realistic metaphysics. If we can understand where he's going with this and the foundations that he's laying down, if you can recall back to our discussion previously of Auguste Comte, Isidore Auguste Marie-François Xavier Comte, C-O-M-T-E, the man who coined the term sociology, crowned that as the queen of sciences, trumping even philosophy, who opened the door to logical positivism, developed the system of positive polity, the system of positive philosophy, and ultimately his catechism for the positive religion. If we can understand that August Comte, writing in the 1800s, looking back now about 70 years to John Locke, building upon that beginning, some of what you're going to hear in John Locke lays down the foundations upon which even August Comte built. But if we don't understand sociology and the social sciences, if we don't understand the system of positivism, then we can't understand Aldous Huxley. And George Orwell will be a closed door to your mind. We're talking about a transition. August Comte stating that there were three stages to human development. In the first stage, men are ruled by priests and priest kings. In the second stage, it's a metaphysical time period, and certainly John Locke falls right into that. And then in the third and final stage of man, we're in the positive stage of human development, and there are so many positivists on the ground around us today, it would blow you away if you really understood their philosophy and were able to see them. But John Locke starts here. I'll start here. We've covered this before. The word idea, which he will find in the following treatise, it being that term which I think serves best to stand for whatever is the object of the understanding when a man thinks. I've used it to express whatever is meant by phantasm, notion, species, or whatever it is which the mind can be employed about in thinking, and I could not avoid frequently using it. So he introduces this word idea. Of course, it's not new to him. You can go all the way back to the Plato, for instance, and Socrates, and bring it forward from there and earlier. But this word idea, all right, and stuff, idea here for John Locke becomes a symbol. It's a symbol inside of a language game. And it stands for something. And he says it serves best to stand for whatsoever is the object of the understanding when a man thinks. When a man thinks, it's the object of his understanding. He's using this word idea as a symbol inside of this language game, inside of this philosophical, radically philosophical study here to express that. It's a symbol. Idea is the object of thinking, he continues, and dropping down more. All ideas come from sensation or reflection. This is where we get the idea of sensationalism creeping in. And this is his famous statement. Let us then suppose the mind to be, as we say, white paper, void of all characters, without any ideas. In other words, at the time, many other people thought that we came into the world with many ideas in our heads, and that we just added to them during the course of our life. John Locke is supposing here that we come into this world with a clean slate. Our minds as a blank piece of paper, a piece of white paper, void of all characters, without any ideas. And then he asks the question, how comes it to be furnished? Whence comes it by the vast store which the busy and boundless fancy of man has painted on it with an almost endless variety? Whence has it all the materials of reason and knowledge? And to this I answer in one word, from experience. An experiential viewpoint. Okay? Very important, because it has really influenced many, and he may very well be right. Dropping down a little bit further here, he says the object of sensation, one source of idea. First, our senses, conversant about particular sensible objects, do convey into the mind several distinct perceptions of things. Again, to August Comte. This idea that all things are relative and there are no absolutes. And August Comte basically laid out a five-sense reality for man. We're trapped inside of this five-sense body. All of these kinds of phrases are coming from these fountains. Dropping down a little further here, all those which we call sensible qualities. This great source of most of the ideas we have, depending wholly upon our senses and derived from them to the understanding, I call sensation. the operations of our minds, the other source of them. Secondly, the other fountain, which from experience furnishes the understanding with ideas, is the perception of the operation of our own minds within us as it is employed about the ideas it has got. So first we have our senses, and then we have the operations of our perception, our minds within us, employed about the idea that it has got from the senses, which operations, when the soul comes to reflect upon and consider, do furnish the understanding with another set of ideas which could not be had from things without. And such are perception, thinking, doubting, believing, reasoning, knowing, willing, and all the different actings of our mind. This source of ideas every man has wholly in himself, and though it be not sense, as having nothing to do with external objects, yet it is very like it, and might properly be enough called internal sense, but I call this the other sensation, so I call this reflection. So we have the five senses, and then we have reflection, how we think about it. By reflection, John Locke writes, in the following part of this discourse, I would be understood to mean that the notice which the mind takes of its own operations, and the manner of them, by reason whereof they come, there come to be ideas of these two operations in the understanding. And he's going to continue. And it's a lengthy treatise, well worth your time. But all the original ideas he has there are any other than of the objects of the senses or the operation of his mind considered as objects of his reflection. And how great a mass of knowledge soever he imagines to be lodged there, he will, upon taking a strict view, see that he has not any idea in his mind but what one of these two have imprinted. And so when we think about someone like Edward Bernays, for instance, when we think about the control of the television set and the aural, the audio, the hearing, the taste, the touch, all of that, but the hearing, you know, of music, we spoke a little bit about that in the beginning hour with Fritz just briefly while we were doing kind of a sound check. But this idea that nothing that we are, that we even comprehend, nothing originates inside, is always either a reflection of or a response to our senses. Very interesting stuff to consider here. We didn't come equipped with a toolbox. He continues and he goes like this. If I can find a place to start. A man feels in a piece of ice, okay, we're talking about the senses, for though the sight and touch often take him, let me start a little bit further. The better to understand the nature, manner, and extent of our knowledge, one thing is carefully to be observed concerning the ideas that we have, and that is that some of them are simple and some of them are complex. Now, if you've never studied philosophy, you've never gotten into it, you know that the philosopher begins with the most simple and then he builds to the most extreme. Or the most complex. They develop their system in the process of discourse. And that's what he's doing here. First, he laid out that we have the five senses, and then we have our internal reflection on those five senses. And now we're going to go in and we're going to break the ideas up into simple and complex. And we have simple and unmixed. And one of those is the coldness and the hardness which a man feels in a piece of ice, being as distinct ideas in the mind as the smell and the whiteness of a lily, or as the taste of sugar and smell of a rose. And there is nothing can be plainer to a man than the clear and distinct perception he has of those simple ideas, which being each in itself uncompounded. It's just cold. It's cold as ice, right? That's the idea you have in your mind. It's sweet as sugar, taste of sugar, smell of a rose. My house this morning is filled with a wonderful smell. A wonderful smell. I went out yesterday and I cut four fully double peonies, two white, two fuchsia colored, brought them in, put them in a bowl of water with some iris from the yard, and the house is just filled with the smell of peony blossoms. Nothing can be plainer to a man than the clear and distinct perception he has of those simple ideas, which being each in itself uncompounded, contains in it nothing but one uniform appearance or one conception in the mind, and it's not distinguishable into different ideas. Well, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle. Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Radio X, with your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And it would appear that the government is staying out of the marketplace in gold right now. Still, the action that's going on inside the marketplace looks to be totally driven by buyers and sellers. Very narrow, tight jumps up and down. Lots of activity inside the market right now. We're looking at about up $5.20. We still haven't. We're down below the 12:45 mark and yet above the 12:35 mark. Anyway, back to our discussion here. In regards to our mind, our knowledge, reality, John Locke writing, such an influential writer. Our founders were not furnished with, impoverished minds. The mind, John Locke continues, can neither make nor destroy them, these ideas. These simple ideas, the materials of all our knowledge, are suggested and furnished to the mind only by these two ways above mentioned, in other words, from sensation and reflection. When the understanding is once stored with these simple ideas, it is the power to repeat, compare, and unite them even to an almost infinite variety, and can so make at pleasure new complex ideas. But it is not in the power of the most exalted wit or enlarged understanding by any quickness or variety of thoughts to invent or frame one new simple idea in the mind. Not taken in, by the ways before mentioned. In other words, from the senses or from reflection. All right? Nor can any force of the understanding destroy those that are there. We have a caller. I'll come to you in a moment, Jeff. Just stay with us. All right? So the dominion of man in this little world of his own understanding, being much what the same as it is in the great world of visible things, wherein his power, however managed by art and skill, reaches no further than to compound and divide the materials that are made to his hand, but can do nothing towards the making the least particle of new matter or destroying one atom of what is already in beginning. And so here, anticipating which would become the law of conservation of energy and so much more, which you can read about on the Wikipedia, the law of conservation of energy. Here, John Locke is bringing forth what would be the writings of Leibniz and others, Galileo as others. But we really do nothing, according to John Locke, we can really do nothing towards the making of the least particle of new matter or destroying one atom of what is already in being. Things just change shape. Things just change form. And so as we come into this time period where we're looking for anticipating, certainly Barbara Marx Hubbard and others, they're anticipating this new revolution, an evolutionary revolution or revolutionary evolution. They're anticipating that we're going to have some mental leap, some quantum change. And yet, known so long ago, it's going to have to come out of our senses, out of reflection, out of us. All of the tools are in our toolbox. And so it's going to be up to us to find the appropriate tools to deal with the materials at hand at this time. Now let's go to our caller, Jeff in Kentucky. Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for calling in. Let's try it again. Sometimes these buttons are slow. Hello. There you go, Jeff. Go ahead.
How you doing, sir?
Doing quite well. Thank you.
I would like to comment on the Locke article you're reading. I had to actually read that treatise in my philosophy of science class I'm taking in university. And the one thing that struck me when I got to the part where he starts mentioning the idols of humanity, the idols of the cave, the idols of the marketplace, I believe that that goes in hand in hand with humanity in itself when you start dealing with the Platonic version of necessary and sufficient knowledge to our, how we come to understand our reality. And in all actuality, we actually interact with each other within the marketplace to bring about new ideas and bring about, how would you say it? It would be in the Greek term of the logos, but in the actual form of knowledge, so to speak. Does that make any sense to you?
Absolutely. And also it comes, you know, calls to my mind, you know, the writings and the teachings of Richard Buckminster Fuller and the idea of synergy, that even though we are all coming equipped with the matter, the material that we have gained from our senses and our reflections, we come to the marketplace of ideas with that which we have encountered in our life. It's the idea of synergy to that, or synergism, where the sum of the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And so you could be working in a laboratory or in a workshop, and one person brings his basket of intellect, another brings his basket of intellect, talent, abilities, and out of those baskets, when they combine them, they come up with something greater than what they had individually. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I mean that could also be looked at on as the Hegelian dialect, where the antithesis and the synthesis of two composing ideas, they fight it out between each other, and either one overcomes the other, or to understanding that they both share the space or the frame of the mind, that you can come up with a new idea out of competition or out of conflict. Well, and I think that's where, and you know, the New World Order or the powers that be use that Hegelian dialect against us in a lot of aspects. But we in this, you know, the movement especially in your point of view, with being vocal local, we could come to an understanding with the people who we see as competitors.
Well, if you go back and study, as I have, the Hegelian dialectic and William Friedrich Hegel himself, my understanding is that you actually don't begin with either the thesis or the antithesis. You begin with a synthesis, and then you create the thesis that would be opposed by the antithesis, which brings you to the synthesis, which was your predetermined outcome. And so you rule by synthesis, but you've got to create in the minds of the people, either using the Edward Bernays School of Propaganda and Public Relations, or you can use the Karl Mordecai Marx Revolution and Counter-Revolution. But you know the synthesis. You know where you want to go. This is your destination. This is where you want the people to move voluntarily. They wouldn't go there of their own volition. But this is where you want them to be, let's say, in the year 2012. And so you have to go backwards in time in your planning, in your five-year plan, your 10-year plan, your 20-year plan. You need to go backwards in time and create the thesis and the opposition, the antithesis, that will help you to arrive at your synthesis on your deadline. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's why I see the powers that be using it as. But what I was talking about on the local level, you know, you may have, you know, two different types of people at your local level with, you know, competing ideas. But if you can come together under common good or common idea, even though you have opposing ideas, you could bring them together and come out with a better outcome or a better part of a whole that the other two parts didn't have.
Exactly. And one of the things we need to be careful there about is the idea of consensus and consensus building, the Delphi technique. Again, it's so closely related to the Hegelian dialectic. But when I get together with somebody, let's say like a planning commission person or a building department person, I'm aware of what's happening on the from the United Nations level, what is the global agenda, and you're working with somebody on the local level, if you show them that they're advancing the global agenda and can help them to come to a time where they'll actually have to confront that, they either need to make a decision. They're either working to advance, let's say, sustainable development, or upon greater understanding, they find it also as repugnant as I do. You can sometimes affect outcomes through discussion in these meetings, which is why I like to go. I want to hear what they're saying. I want to hear the buzzwords and the catchwords. And I also want to know who the change agents are that are in their midst, just like the Joseph, the Grand Vizier, who's working from behind the scenes to push them towards this synthesis. But good points, Jeff.
Well, thank you very much for what you're doing, sir. I'm glad to hear somebody pulling out the philosophical point of view within Oracle. And I got a question for you, and I'll take it offline if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Can you put, or do you have a reading list that you've put out, or do you have?
I'll bring that up right now.
And thank you for what you're doing, sir.
Thank you for calling in. I'll bring that up right now real quickly in the last moments. I've been asked numerous times about whether I have a bibliography, something that I could put out for everybody. But my walk in life is completely different from yours. The material that I've come into my library, I've attracted to myself, everything has come on time. It might have no meaning to you, but I'll talk about that again next time. Till then, good day.
One state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Be prepared for anything. Disasters, drought, earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis. Be ready wherever your adventures take you. Ocean, rainforest, jungle, desert, even your own backyard. Sea Panel can help you make clean water from any source. Salt water, pesticides, arsenic, fluoride, brine, bacteria. With Sea Panel, you can handle whatever Mother Nature throws your way. Just pour contaminated water into your Sea Panel and let sunlight distill up to 2 gallons per day. 100% solar powered. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. If you're near the ocean, Sea Panel can help make your disaster kit ready for anything. Please visit cpanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com, or call 205-246-6492, cpanel.com.
V
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Does ordinary talk radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.